Whether you are planning a women's retreat or a more formal conference, be prepared for months of planning and preparation. Retreats are an opportunity to draw back to a place of refuge, privacy, or safety to escape danger or difficulty. That's according to Sharon James in her book, Building an Effective Ministry. It is our opportunity to escape from the busyness of life, retreating for spiritual, emotional, and even physical renewal. Retreats are also a relaxed atmosphere to share the gospel. Conferences are more structured and formal, and the planning for both, however, is fairly the same. You're going to start with retreat research, and this is a great assignment for somebody who is on your women's ministry team who has the gift of administration or hospitality. These are your planners. First, cover the event in prayer. Is this the right event for our ministry at this time? Is this the best use of our money and resources at this time? Does this meet a need for the women in our church or community? Second, pick a theme, a word or phrase that represents the idea or purpose of the retreat. A piece of scripture could be selected that supports that above idea or describes the theme completely on its own. And pre-assembled kits are available that have themes that you can choose from. Three, decide the length. Do you want 2 days with a single overnight stay or 3 days with 2 overnight stays? Four, what is the attendance of your usual women's ministry events? What is your attendance when you usually go out of town for conferences? How many women are in your church? Expect 20 to 25% attendance max at a retreat. Five, what's your budget goal? What is the amount that you feel is a comfortable or reasonable amount for the women to pay based on your economy? And are there any restrictions from your church on how to price the event? Six, consider the locations. You want something within a reasonable driving distance, up to 2, maybe 3 hours max. And if there is going to be a long drive, consider carpooling or chartering a bus. What locations visually and practically work within your theme? What locations can accommodate your expected number of attendees? And what locations are going to fit within your budget comfortably? Also consider, what does the location include with that cost? Seven, consider your meals, snacks, and beverages. Does the location have a catering site? Is the catering included in the accommodation pricing or is it separate? If it is separate, are you required to use their catering services? And if it's optional, are there any restrictions on who you can bring in for catering? Can you cook your own meals at the location? Eight, set a date by starting with an empty calendar. Block out the dates that are important for activities within the church. Block out your major holidays and maybe even the week surrounding them. Include Mother's Day. Block out important dates for parents like prom, homecoming, graduation, and the first day of school or the last week of school. Consider your seasons and weather in respect to your theme. Then comprise a list of several dates because you may need to be flexible with the location based on their availability. Consider that some locations have an in-season and out-of-season rate, which can help or hinder your budget. And this could significantly impact your budget if you're stuck on having it at a particular time of year. I'd like to address a few things about locations that can be helpful in determining what best suits your group. Hotels. Hotels are virtually limitless in the availability of rooms, but they're going to require a minimum number of hotel rooms booked in order to receive any sort of discount. Often booking 2 nights is as much, and sometimes even a little bit less, than booking for a one-night stay. The benefit is that everything is in one place, your meeting rooms, meals, and lodging. Plus, they have fun amenities to use during downtime, like pools, spas, gyms, and tennis courts. Some have beach access. Additionally, there's hardly any setup requirements as the hotel usually takes care of those needs. They will set up the tables and chairs for your meeting spaces. They will set up and clean up after the meals. And some hotels even include decorations for the space from their own personal inventory. There are also hotels in every city of some sort, so it makes it possible to hold a retreat within your own town or within a short driving distance. Hotels have catering that can often accommodate dietary restrictions if you should have attendees who are vegetarians, diabetic, or suffer from allergies. The drawback to the hotel is the price. Since hotels provide more services, they are generally going to be one of your most expensive options. In most hotels, you must use the hotel catering for your meals, unless you plan to leave the property, and that can consume nearly half of your budget on its own. You will also need to budget for tipping the staff that will assist you in the course of the event. Another option are Christian campgrounds. These are locations that are generally used by youth groups and Christian summer camps, but throughout the year, they will often rent out their cabins to other ministry groups and churches. Most of these camps are set up with a meeting space that has one or two dorm and bunkhouse style rooms attached for sleeping. They will also have a mess hall for your main meals and occasionally may have a small camp store that carries snacks and toiletries. The benefit is that the bunkhouses will usually sleep quite a few women, 20 to 40, and you are most often renting the whole space, not the number of beds. Therefore, your lodging costs are a flat rate regardless of the number of women you're trying to accommodate. However, you will pay per person for the meals if the camp is providing them. Some camps will allow you to handle your own food needs, but they may not permit an outside catering service, so you will need to inquire if the cabin has a full kitchen or not. The drawback to these types of campgrounds is that they are usually outside of major cities, so you're going to have to expect to travel. You will need to decide if you're going to charter a bus or carpool, and be sure to discuss parking with the camp, as parking spaces might be limited and carpooling might be a requirement. If your group is small and only taking up a few cabins, you may find that there are other events on the property at the same time. Sleeping accommodation in most of these camps are bunk beds, which will require you to bring your own bedding, and it might impact which ladies from your church are able to attend due to age, health, or physical concerns. If you use the camp catering, you may find it harder to meet any dietary restrictions when it comes to the menu. But you might also have the option to provide those alternate meals yourself. This will vary from camp to camp. You will also be limited in the number of people each cabin or bunk house can hold, so you don't want to rent another 40-person cabin if you only have 10 extra people. You'll need to know what those boundaries are. You will also need to set up your own meeting spaces because the camp is usually hands-off. Vacation homes. If you have a small group, say under 20 people, consider looking into vacation homes. These locations will have flat weekend rental prices, but you will be limited to the number of people that the house can sleep. There are vacation rental home websites that you can use to search for properties based on the number of people you need to house and the price you would like to pay, even the area you would like to stay in. You can sometimes get lucky and find two small houses that are right next to each other, and you can book them at the same time. Don't let the size surprise you. They're often unexpectedly affordable, especially once you've broken it down to that per-person price. You will also have a full kitchen, should you decide to prepare the meals yourself or cater in the affair. The benefit of vacation homes are that they're usually affordable, found on a beach or lakefront property, or local to a very touristy area that your attendees can visit during downtime. These locations may have a swimming pool, hot tub, and media rooms on site to use during your downtime. It frees up your budget for other elements of the retreat. The drawback is that there will not be a formal meeting space available with tables and chairs, so expect to pile into the living room or sit on the patio for your group sessions. Sleeping arrangements can also be a bit awkward, as inevitably you'll end up with four women who have been relegated to the kids-themed room that has bunk beds, while all the other women are in regular rooms with regular beds. Each of these locations are perfect locations for retreats, but your choice will impact your budget, amount of planning time, setup and cleanup time, and several other smaller details. When planning a retreat, it's easy to allow those details to get away from you, and therefore it is important to have a clear budget. It's also really easy to allow the downtime and fun to overtake our time with God, so we must be very intentional about keeping this event gospel-centered. A conference, by its very nature, is going to be more scripture and worship and focused on God. Weekend getaways can, frankly, get away from us. This is why having a retreat committee is really important to the process. This team might be comprised of women from the women's ministry team, but it may also include women from your church who are gifted with talents that are towards these type of events. Not only do they want to be included, it is a great way for the team and church to let every woman know that she's valuable and she has something to contribute. Your committee is going to be comprised of a leader who spearheads the planning and women with an assortment of spiritual gifts. If you don't already have a prayer team that is praying for the retreat, make sure to include that in your committee assignments. A committee structure might look something like this. You have a committee chair, head, or leader who is going to oversee all the positions and functions of the committee. The prayer team leader, who's praying over the retreat and for the team during the retreat. Publicity leader, who's assembling the brochures, flyers, and submits the church announcements. Speaker coordinator, this is the person who's going to find and coordinate the speakers for the event and will tend to them during the course of the retreat. The worship leader, if you're going to have music, you need to find the musician, you need to print the lyric sheets, and you need to make sure that the tech is handled for the event. You will also tend to her needs during the retreat. Your tech team, this is going to be the person or team that coordinates the audiovisual needs for the event, hires the tech team, learns the tech, might have to coordinate with the location itself for their materials, and take some training. The treasurer or finances is the person who's going to be collecting the money, keeping track of the budget, receipts, and reimbursements. The registration coordinator will be signing people up for the event, preparing name tags, signing them in as they arrive, and distributing conference materials as needed. Gifts and door prize coordinator. If you're going to be giving away gifts or door prizes during the retreat, you're going to need somebody who's going to get those gifts for you. The decoration coordinator. You need somebody who has that gift that can plan the decorations for the event, gather the volunteers, and execute it. The activities director. If you're going to be doing fun things at the event that aren't coordinated by the camp, you're going to need somebody who has that spirit of fun and energy that can put together those events in a way that makes sense and accommodates everybody who's attending. You'll need somebody in charge of food and beverages. They're going to coordinate with the location on the menu, or if they're doing it themselves, they're going to prepare the menu, snacks and beverages and other needs. The accommodations coordinator. This is the person who's going to be arranging the lodging for the speakers and the guests. You might also need a breakout session or small group leader who's going to coordinate any structured learning or discussion time outside of the general sessions. The general session leader. This is the person who's arranging for the meeting space, the seating charts, and the order of the events. There may be specific positions that need to be added based on your event location or needs, such as the follow-up team, if you're going to have response cards to follow up with the ladies after the retreat, or they may review and compile data from the end of the event surveys. Retail sales. In some instances, if you hire in a speaker who is an author, she may have books that she'd like to bring for sale. Sometimes the speakers bring their own assistant who will sell the merchandise. Other times, they may use a volunteer from your ministry team. But please make sure that this is something that you're comfortable with and that your church approves of. And let your attendees know ahead of time that this is going to be available so they can budget for it. If the speaker isn't allowed to sell books at the retreat or conference, you may find that the speaker fee is going to be higher. Conferences tend to be more formal, and you're likely to hire in at least a keynote speaker. However, retreats are more intimate and are often filled with personal testimonies from women within the church. I've experienced retreats with paid speakers, with speakers from within the church, and a mixture of both. The question really is which fits your theme and purpose of the retreat best. You might also find that due to the location you select, it may make more sense to combine some of those suggested committee positions. Some may not be needed at all. The simpler you make the process, the better it's going to be for everyone. Due to tourist and wedding seasons, seasonal rates, and the size of your group, it is important that you begin this process early. Even if your group is small, if you want to ensure that you can hold your event at a certain location or during a certain month, you can't wait until the last minute. Most retreat planners will suggest 8 months. For myself, I wait till about 2 or 3 weeks after the current year's retreat has concluded and then begin working towards the next one. When you begin your planning stages early, it also gives plenty of notice to the women in the church. They may need to move a vacation day, start budgeting for the registration, or begin arranging childcare. It also affords the ministry the opportunity to put together a payment installment plan, which I have found very practical for larger expense events. Once you have those basics, the date, location, theme, and price, start promoting. Have a women's brunch to announce the retreat, and use this as a time to sign up volunteers for the event. It also ensures that your information will be included on the church website, in Sunday bulletins, in plenty of time for the women of the church to also invite their coworkers, friends, and family members. I also encourage that the women's ministry team pray over 10 specific people that God lays on each one of their hearts to personally invite to the retreat. Something your team will want to consider as well is, do we only want to invite our church and the women that they personally know, or do we want to extend an invitation to other local churches who might be interested? Do we want to publicize it on the radio or in a local paper? I would recommend not taking on more than you can handle. If this is your first event, keep it small and personal, and allow it to grow naturally. Eventually, you will find yourself able to handle a much larger function. A one-day retreat might be a great starting point for a small ministry, a first-time retreat, or even for a ministry that's in an area that's struggling financially. While the steps are the same, you are filling in a shorter schedule and working with a simpler budget. Often, single-day retreats can be held in your own church, but if you need more space, look into local women's clubs, rec centers, and rental halls in your community. Final thoughts. If you've been considering putting on a retreat for the women in your church, but you're really uncertain, talk to other women's ministry leaders. Is there a church that's already planning one? Ask if you could sit in on their planning meetings, or shadow their team as they go through the process. It might be something that you can accomplish even over lunch or coffee, where the other leader can just give you some pointers and share their experiences. Or you could purchase a retreat kit like I'd mentioned earlier, as they will give you a step-by-step guide to executing a successful event.